Welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at the story of the demon-possessed man and the pigs.
Okay.
It's a pretty wild story, even for the Bible,
Yeah.
so we're excited to unpack it.
Absolutely.
We'll be using a lecture from Dr. Robert Newman as our guide today.
Okay.
And he calls this lecture miracle exegesis, which
Right.
I love as a term
Yeah.
because
Well,
it sounds very academic and sophisticated.
it
But
does.
when you actually break it down, it basically means understanding the art of biblical stories,
Yeah.
which is exactly what we're going to be doing today.
Absolutely.
So just to give everyone a little background, because I know not everyone listening has the story memorized.
Right.
The story goes that Jesus encounters this man who's tormented by demons. And the demons actually beg Jesus to be sent into a nearby herd of pigs.
Yeah.
And Jesus allows it. And spoiler alert,
Right.
the pigs drown in the sea.
Yep.
And everyone is understandably shocked.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
Right. So why don't we start off with something that Dr. Newman points out in his lecture,
Okay.
which is that there are tons of miracles in the Gospels.
Right.
He identifies over 30.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So what do you think this says about the role of miracles in Jesus' ministry?
Well, I think it shows that miracles were central to how people understood Jesus and his mission.
Right. It's not just a sideshow.
Exactly. They're not just these random events. They're really integrated into the fabric of the story.
And Dr. Newman points out that this story fits into a specific genre called a miracle story.
Right.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so like any genre, a miracle story follows a certain structure.
Okay.
You have the problem, the plea for help,
Right.
the miracle worker's actions,
Okay.
and finally the result.
So it's like a formula.
Kinda, yeah, it's a way of understanding how these stories are told and why.
Okay, so we have our framework now
Right.
before we dive into the miracle itself. There's actually a little bit of a geographical puzzle surrounding the location of this story.
Yes, there
There's
is.
some debate about where it all went down. So
Exactly.
where are the potential locations?
Well, the texts mention three different places: Gerasenes, Gadarenes, and Gergesenes.
Okay, so we're talking about three different towns.
Right. Well, those are the names of the people, but they also refer to the towns.
Okay, got it. So Gerasenes would be people from the town of Gerasa.
Right.
Gadarenes would be from Gadara. And Gergesenes would be from Gergesa.
You got it.
So which of these towns is the most likely spot?
Well, that's the tricky part. Each one has its pros and cons.
Okay, I love a good mystery.
Me too.
So tell me more.
Okay, well, some scholars think Gerasa is geographically improbable because it's over 30 miles southeast of the Sea of Galilee.
Wow, that's quite a trek.
It is, especially if you're a herd of possessed pigs.
Right, so not Gerasa.
Me not. Then there's Gadara, which is closer to the Sea of Galilee,
Okay.
but it's situated across this deep gorge.
So logistically, that might be difficult for the pigs to even get to the sea.
Right. It's possible, but it adds another layer of complication to the story.
Okay, so Gerasa is too far. Gadara has a gorge. What about Kinshasa?
Now, Gerdesa is right on the eastern shore of the lake.
So that makes sense.
It does, and it even boasts some recently discovered ancient docks.
Oh, wow. So there's archaeological evidence.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
So it sounds like Gerasa is the most likely candidate.
You'd think so, right? But it's not that straightforward.
Okay, so what's the catch?
Well, Gerasa and Gadara, being larger cities, actually had fishing and docking rights on the lake.
I see.
And both areas have those steep slopes leading down to the water.
Which would make for a pretty dramatic pig stampede.
Exactly, just like the story describes.
So even with the docks, Gerasa might not be the definitive answer.
Right, it's still a bit of a geographical puzzle.
Okay, well, maybe we'll never know for sure.
Maybe not, but it's fun to speculate.
Speaking of mysteries,
Yeah.
the Bible doesn't really tell us much about demons, does it?
It doesn't, we're not given a lot of details about their origin or their nature.
Like, are they fallen angels? Something else entirely.
Exactly. It's all very mysterious.
So how does Dr. Newman approach this whole demon thing?
Well, he acknowledges the lack of detail in the Bible,
Okay.
but he also emphasizes that demons are presented as real and powerful forces.
So it's not just a metaphor.
Right. These are entities to be reckoned with.
It's interesting, though, because they don't really show up much in the Old Testament,
That's true.
but they're all over the Gospels.
It's a noticeable shift.
Why do you think that is?
Well, maybe it has something to do with the arrival of Jesus. He's challenging these forces of darkness head on.
So maybe it's like a ramping up of the spiritual battle, or
Exact.
maybe the Gospel writers just chose to emphasize the demonic element more.
Yeah, to really highlight the spiritual stakes involved.
I can see that. And this whole idea of demon possession is so fascinating, but also really complex.
It is.
Like, yeah. Is it the person acting or is it the demon pulling the strings?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. How do we even begin to understand that?
Well, Dr. Newman highlights that blurred line between the person and the demon.
Right.
It's not always clear who's in control.
So we have to kind of wrestle with that ambiguity.
Exactly. It's not a simple answer.
Okay. So we've looked at the setting and we've talked about the nature of demons.
Right.
Now let's actually break down the miracle itself using that miracle story structure that we discussed.
I mean.
So first up, the problem.
Okay. So the problem is laid out pretty clearly in the story.
Right.
This man is living among tombs. He's completely uncontrollable and he's even harming himself.
So it's a pretty dire situation.
It is. Dr. Newman really emphasizes the severity of his suffering.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely terrifying.
It is. And this leads us to the plea for help.
Okay, but I'm already sensing a twist.
You're catching on.
What is it?
Well, Dr. Newman asks this really interesting question.
Okay, I'm listening.
Was there even a request for help?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Did the demoniac actually approach Jesus out of his own desire to be healed?
Or were the demons manipulating him?
Exactly. Maybe they were driving him towards this confrontation with Jesus.
Okay, so we don't even know who initiated the encounter.
We don't. It's ambiguous.
That adds another layer of complexity to the story.
It does. And it makes you think about the nature of free will and how it interacts with these spiritual forces.
Okay, so we have a problem and a maybe plea for help.
Right.
What happens next?
Well, then we get to the miracle worker's actions.
Okay, and what does Jesus do?
Well, in this case, it's not so much about physical actions.
Oh.
It's more about dialogue.
So Jesus is talking to the demons.
He is, and it's a really fascinating exchange.
What do they talk about?
Well, the focus is on the demons actually begging Jesus not to torment them.
Wait a minute, the demons are scared of Jesus.
Terrified. Which is really interesting when you think about it.
Yeah, because aren't they supposed to be these powerful, evil entities?
That's the common perception, right. But even the demons recognize Jesus' authority.
I guess evil is no match for true power.
You could say that.
Okay, so we have this intense dialogue happening.
Right.
What happens next?
Well, then we reach the grand finale, the result.
Okay, let's hear it.
The man is set free from the demons.
Praise the Lord.
The pigs meet their unfortunate end in the sea.
Poor pigs.
And the crowd is left in stunned silence.
I bet they were.
It's a powerful scene.
It is, and it leaves us with a lot to unpack.
Absolutely.
But we'll have to save that for the next part of our deep dive.
I can't wait.
Me neither. It's like peace for the man, but chaos for the pigs.
Right.
But why did the pigs have to drown?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It seems a little harsh.
It does, and Dr. Newman actually explores that question in his lecture.
Okay, so what does he say?
Well, he offers three possibilities.
Okay, let's hear him.
The first is that the demons, in a last act of defiance, kind of like a big screw you.
Right.
They drove the pigs into the sea.
Okay, so it was the demons' fault, not Jesus's.
That's one possibility.
Yeah.
The second is that Jesus actually caused it to happen.
Okay, so it was a deliberate act.
Right. And the third possibility is that the pigs just panicked.
Like a stampede.
Exactly. They saw these crazy demons, or maybe even Jesus himself, and they just bolted.
Right into the sea.
Yep. So the text doesn't give us a definitive answer.
So it's really up to us to decide what we believe.
Exactly. It's open to interpretation.
I like that.
Me too.
Okay. So we've talked about the why of the pigs drowning.
Right.
But let's shift our focus to what happens next.
Okay.
This man has been through so much.
Yeah, he has.
Living among the tombs, being tormented, isolated from everyone.
It's a rough existence.
It is. So what happens to him after his encounter with Jesus?
Well, that's where the story gets really interesting.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Remember, the villagers were terrified.
Right. They begged Jesus to leave.
They did, and it seems like they were more concerned about their lost pigs
than about the man who had just been healed.
Exactly. It's kind of sad, actually.
It is. It's like they couldn't grasp the miracle that had just happened.
I think you're right. It highlights that human tendency we have.
To focus on material possessions.
Yeah, instead of spiritual well-being.
Okay, but what does Jesus do?
Well, he does something unexpected.
What's that?
He sends the former demoniac back into the community.
Wait, really? Back to the people who rejected him?
Yep. Back to the scene of the pigtastrophe.
I wouldn't want to go back there.
I don't blame you, but I think Jesus had a specific purpose in mind.
What do you mean?
I think it's a powerful statement about the transformative power of personal experience.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
This man, who was once an outcast, feared and shunned, he's now entrusted with a mission.
To tell his story.
Exactly, to bear witness to what Jesus has done for him.
So it's not about formal religious training or theological expertise.
Not in this case.
It's about sharing your own encounter with the divine.
Precisely, however messy or unconventional it might be.
And that's a message that resonates even today.
It does. We don't need to be scholars or priests to share our faith.
Right, our personal stories, our struggles, our moments of grace.
Those are the most powerful testimonies we can offer.
I can only imagine the impact this man must have had on his community.
Yeah, it's a powerful image.
Here he is, back among them, clothes in his right mind, no longer a threat.
Right.
But a living testament to Jesus' power.
It's a beautiful image of redemption.
It is. So we've covered the problem, the plea, the actions, the result.
And even the aftermath.
What would Dr. Newman say is the ultimate message of this miracle?
Well, he reminds us that these miracles are designed to reveal who Jesus is.
Okay.
And in this story, we see various facets of his character and mission.
Like what?
His authority over demonic forces.
Mm-hmm.
His compassion for those who are suffering.
Right.
His willingness to challenge societal norms.
Okay.
And his trust in the power of personal testimony.
It's like a multi-layered portrait of Jesus.
It is, with each layer revealing something new and profound about him.
And what he came to do.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of studying scripture.
It's not just about memorizing facts and rules.
Right. It's about encountering a living God.
Who reveals himself to us in surprising and often challenging ways.
Absolutely.
So even a story about demons and pigs
can offer profound insights
into the nature of God and our own spiritual journeys.
You got it. And this deep dive has been so rewarding.
I agree.
Because we're not just learning about the past.
Right.
We're grappling with questions that are still relevant to our lives today.
Like what?
The reality of spiritual warfare.
Okay.
The power of personal transformation.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of sharing our faith.
Wow.
And the challenge of prioritizing spiritual values over material concerns.
Yeah, those are themes that resonate across time.
They do. It's like that this ancient story is speaking directly to our modern day anxiety.
And aspirations.
Exactly.
That's the power of the Bible.
It is. It's a timeless text that transcends centuries and cultures.
And personal experiences.
Absolutely.
You know what strikes me is that even though this story is packed with drama and supernatural elements,
right,
it ultimately boils down to human choices.
That's a great observation.
The villagers chose fear over compassion.
Mm-hmm.
The demoniac chose to follow Jesus.
Right.
And ultimately, we're left to choose how we respond to this story.
That's so true. And it highlights the importance of free will.
Even when faced with spiritual battles.
We have the power to choose who we will serve, what we will believe, and how we will live.
And that brings us back to Dr. Newman's emphasis on finding refuge in Christ.
Yes.
It's not about relying on our own strength or willpower.
Right. It's about surrendering to a power greater than ourselves.
And that surrender, that act of faith,
is what opens us up to the possibility of transformation.
Healing in a life lived in alignment with God's purpose.
Beautifully said.
So we've explored the geographical puzzle, the nature of demons, the miracle itself.
And even the theological implications.
Is there anything else left to uncover in this deep dive?
Well, Dr. Newman leaves us with one final thought-provoking question.
Oh, I love a good cliffhanger.
Me too. Okay, so he asks, if this miracle was designed to show us who Jesus is, what does this specific story, with all its unique and sometimes strange details,
right,
reveal about his character and mission?
So it's not just about understanding the story.
No.
It's about letting the story challenge and transform us.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's the journey we're on as we explore these ancient texts.
A journey of discovery, insight, and ultimately a deeper understanding of ourselves.
And the God who created us.
Well said. I think that's a perfect place to pause for now. Okay, so we're back and ready to finish up our deep dive into the story of the demon-possessed man and the pigs.
I'm ready.
It's been a wild ride so far.
It has lots of twists and turns.
Yeah, but that's what makes these biblical stories so fascinating.
Absolutely. They keep you on your toes.
So before we wrap up, I want to go back to that question that Dr. Newman left us with.
The one about what this specific story reveals about Jesus.
Yeah, out of all the miracles he performed, why include this one with all its strange details?
Right. It's like, what's the point of the pigs?
Yeah. Exactly. It's not your typical feel-good miracle story.
It's not. It's messy and kind of disturbing.
But maybe that's the point.
Maybe so. It's certainly not a story you forget easily.
So where do we even begin to unpack the deeper meaning of this miracle?
Well, I think Dr. Newman gives us some helpful clues in his lecture.
Like what?
He emphasizes Jesus' authority over demonic forces.
Right. He clearly has power over them.
He does. And he also highlights Jesus' compassion for the suffering.
Yeah, even for someone like the demoniac who was so ostracized.
Exactly. And he emphasizes Jesus' desire to restore wholeness to broken lives.
So maybe this miracle was meant to show us just how vast Jesus' power is.
That's one way to look at it. His ability to overcome even the most entrenched darkness.
And it's not just about power. It's also about compassion, right?
Absolutely. This man was completely rejected by his community, but Jesus saw him, heard him, and ultimately healed him.
It's a powerful message of hope for anyone who feels lost or alone.
It is. It's a reminder that God's love extends to everyone no matter what.
So we've talked about Jesus's power and compassion.
Right.
But what about the pigs?
Yeah, they kind of get the short end of the stick in this story.
They do. And it's one of the things that makes this miracle so challenging.
It forces us to confront the difficult realities of suffering and loss.
Even in the context of a miraculous healing.
Exactly. It's not always a neat and tidy outcome.
And that's a tough pill to swallow.
It is. But maybe it's a reminder that even in the midst of God's work, there can be unintended consequences.
It's hard to wrap our minds around that.
It is. But it's something that theologians and philosophers have wrestled with for centuries.
So maybe this miracle is less about finding easy answers.
And more about wrestling with the hard questions.
The mysteries of faith that don't always have simple solutions.
Exactly.
That's a good point. It reminds me of something you said earlier.
What's that?
That faith isn't about blind acceptance.
Right.
It's about engaging in a dialogue with the divine.
Asking questions, seeking understanding, and trusting that even in the midst of uncertainty,
God is present.
Beautifully said.
So maybe that's the ultimate message of this miracle.
What do you mean?
That even when faced with chaos, suffering, and loss,
there's still hope.
Yeah. There's a power greater than ourselves that can bring healing, restoration, and a new way of being in the world.
That's a beautiful thought.
It is. You know what really struck me about this deep dive?
What's that?
How personal it felt.
Me too.
It wasn't just about these abstract theological concepts.
Right.
This story is about real people, real struggles, and the transformative power of encountering the divine.
And that's what makes these stories so enduring.
And relatable.
They speak to the deepest longings of the human heart.
The longing for healing, connection, meaning, and a sense of belonging.
Absolutely.
You know, even though we're just two voices having a conversation.
Yeah.
It feels like we've been on this journey together.
I agree.
Exploring this ancient text, sharing our thoughts, and hopefully inspiring our listeners to do the same.
It has been a privilege to share this deep dive with you.
And with our listeners.
I hope it has sparked some curiosity.
And a desire to delve deeper into the mysteries of faith.
And maybe even discover the transformative power of encountering the divine.
In your own life.
That would be amazing.
So on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
All ears?
If you were to tell your own story of an encounter with the divine, what would it be?
That's a great question.
What experiences have shaped your faith, challenged your beliefs, or brought you closer to a sense of the sacred?
I encourage everyone to really think about that.
Maybe journal your thoughts or share your story with someone you trust.
Because ultimately, it's through sharing our stories,
our doubts, and our moments of grace
that we build bridges of understanding
and create a more compassionate and connected world.
Well said.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep exploring the mysteries of faith.